Today we'll be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 18. This concerns the death of Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 18, and while you are turning there, let us go into some background information. Now this information is found in the previous chapter. David in the previous chapter had fled for safety across the Jordan River to Mahanaim. This is found in chapter 17, verse 24. He fled while his rebellious son, who followed the advice of Hushi, chapter 17, verses 6 and 7. instead of the other advisor, Ahithophel. Now, Absalom, following Hushi's advice, gathered the men of Israel together for their pursuit of the overthrow. Now, ultimately, Ahithophel, because his advice is rejected, and he foresees the end of the campaign as being a disaster, he ends up hanging himself. Now it is a interesting note in chapter 17, verse 14, the words, and here they are, quote, "For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." Now, those folks who don't see God as intervening directly into people's lives, but who only sit back and watch and can do nothing, this negates any of that false idea or false theology that God cannot act upon men's hearts and minds and decisions. God is very active in our lives, whether we realize it or not. So God, the Lord, had appointed to defeat. In other words, God had made up his mind ahead of time that this is what was going to come to pass, and that he might bring evil upon Absalom. Those folks who only think God is love and not justice, and that God only brings goodness instead of wrath upon sin, those folks are very mistaken. In this case here, we see several things. For one, we see that the Lord guides decisions of men to fall into his will. We also see the fact that the Lord will bring to justice the acts of men, though it may not be realized fully by them. Then we see that the counsels of men are brought to nothing but foolishness when they are in rebellion against the Lord's anointed. For that, see Psalm 2. We also see that God does take sides between two people or two peoples, and that is based on the righteousness of his law as well as his promises. Now, this also goes counter to the modern theology that God loves everybody just the same. God indeed does take sides, and this is based on his plans and his will, his righteousness, as well as his promises. Okay, let's look at the exposition of this chapter. We'll go over it. Chapter 18 of 2 Samuel. Let's go through, let's deal with the first three verses here. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them, and set forth a third part of the people. Josephus states that the number of men amounted to 4,000. That is his count. That would be 1,000 for each general, and also 1,000 for King David. This may not be correct, the correct numbers, since according to verse 3, there is a reference to losing 10,000. The gentleman in verse 3 makes a reference to losing 10,000, and even if it was an exaggeration of extremities, it would be unusual. The number of 10,000 may have been an exaggeration of extreme. The exact number being that is not given will have to remain indefinite, as it is indefinite in the text, in spite of Josephus's remarks. Of the number, whatever that may have been, King David divided these men into three parts, each led by a general. The three generals are named. The first is looks like the commander-in-chief or the main general is Joab. Joab's nephew, Abishai, is another one. And Ittai is the third general. So we have Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, all three leading David's men. At one point, David had proposed that he also should go with them into battle, but was dissuaded from such an action by the faithful people. One must take good advice when given good advice. And in this case, he was given good advice. The children of light must hide in the light in order to be safe. The powers of darkness have greater strength the further we wander away from the light, and they are able to inflict hurt upon the straying ones. So King David does well to listen to the advice of his true friends. A true friend doesn't always agree. Verses 4 and 5. And the king said unto them, "What seemeth you best, I will do." And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." He said this in the hearing of all the people. And he commanded his generals, his captains, and all those in command that his son should be dealt with gently. It was obvious from what follows that not everyone held to those sentiments. Absalom wanted only David slain, whereas David only wanted Absalom spared. Verses 6 through 8. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. continue on. The wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. This would make the battle having taken place east of the Jordan River in Gilead, on a flat plain that had a woods behind it. The 20,000 men slaughtered is understood to be those of Absalom's following. It appears that the army of Absalom was broken up and fled into the woods, where they were overcome by the wounds or slain by David's men in the woods. The Syrian and Aramaic versions have it that wild animals devoured these men, either killing them first and then eating them, or eating them after being slain. The pits, bogs, and hazards of the forest took a great toll on the fleeing men, Absalom being one of them. Verse 9, and Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Under the orders of King David, the troops that met Absalom did not harm him when they met him, but let him ride away freely. The mule, out of Absalom's control, but not the Lord's, rode under an oak tree that was covered thickly with limbs, great and small. It was here that Absalom had his head caught in the oak limbs, so that he hung by his head from the tree. This perhaps indicates, as has been noted previously, that he was unfit to live in either heaven or earth. Verse 10, and a certain man saw it and told Joab. This certain man is generally thought to have been Ahimaaz, who is mentioned in verses 19 and 27. He is the runner who was used as both scout and messenger, or messenger as a runner. Verse 11, why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. Joab asked why the witness didn't kill Absalom, for Joab promised that he would have given him good reward from his own hand. The girdle is, besides the money, the girdle would indicate a commission of office or a position. Verses 12 and 13, I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldst have set thyself against me. The witness of Absalom's plight replied that he dare not go against the order of the king, because when the truth came out, even Joab would play against him had he slain the king's son. So he did the wise thing. Money is no good to a dead man. Verses 14 and 15. Then so it said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom. Further on down, the 10 men that bear Joab's armor come passed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Absalom died hanging on a tree, bearing the curse and judgment given in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 23. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 23. Very important passage. And we're not going to read it at this point. You need to look that up. Absalom's guilt was worthy of death by four reasons. First reason, the murder of his brother Amnon. Second, by raising an insurrection against God's anointed and the nation of Israel. Three, by becoming a traitorous rebel against his own father. Four, by having lain with his own father's concubines. This is found in chapter 16, verse 21. And that is against Leviticus chapter 18, verse 29, according to the law. So we see that the wages of sin is indeed death, Romans 6, 23. It is because David allowed his feelings as a father to outweigh his judgment as a king that Absalom's sin was permitted to be carried out for such a long period of time and cost many lives. The price of an indulgent parent is often paid in heartbreak. God has... God has Amaz deliver his message first to King David. Ahimaaz was a good man, continuing with the story. He was a good man, and the message that he would deliver was indeed associated with him. The positive message of victory that he carried and peace prepared David for the coming bad news by strengthening him. Cushi, the dark-skinned servant, arrived shortly and faithfully afterwards and told David the message that his son was dead. Verses 32 and 33, the enemies of my Lord the King and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. There is some similarity between Absalom and Judas Iscariot. They both rebelled against the kingdom, against God's anointed, and both ended hanging on a tree. Joab did a service to his king and country by executing justice upon the guilty. They didn't dare bring the dead body back to David to see, but instead threw it into the nearest pit and covered it with stones. For many years after that, it was a tradition of both Jews and Muslims, as they passed by, to cast stones in disgust at the pile of rock that marked Absalom's grave. Absalom had formerly had a pillar erected in his own honor as to be a remembrance to future generations of him. But what really remained instead was a pile of stone gathered in disgrace. Absalom's three sons, which mentioned in chapter 14, verse 27, apparently preceded him in death. So his line, his family line, his lineage, was cut off and was not permitted to continue. In the end, David was not concerned about any of his men or how the battle went, according to how this reads in this chapter. He was only concerned that his son was safe. The words that we just read, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh Absalom, my son, are some of the most sorrowful words in all of Scripture and stand as a warning to all parents who look the other way concerning the waywardness of their children, even grown children. And it stands as a warning also to those who do not associate sorrows of life with sin. The law is still on the book that you reap that which you sow." Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, which says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate that unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come to Thee now and we thank Thee indeed for Thy word and Thy warnings and Thy advice and Thy wisdom. We ask now that You'll teach us these words, guide us as we go throughout the day in our dealings with others. And we pray now that You'll bring honor and glory to Yourself and to Your kingdom through what is said and done. For it is in Your name we pray, for Your sake. Amen.